That's not a remnant from 1989. That's a thing that we did many years later, and did it really with the average size of convenience stores.
At the time.
There's a couple of things that were mentioned in the letter from Attorney Waldron, and one of them is the multi-use, which is a legal decision that I'll have to make. But the other one regarding the he's asking for a curative amendment on the convenience store. That's a variance. That's got to go to the zoning hearing board. That's in our ordinance, and it's got to be interpreted literally, and that's a variance.
If it's a convenience store, right?
Yeah, it says 2,000 square feet. Now, I don't know what the reasoning for that would have been, but hey, you know.
The reasoning, when we did that, Tony, we had an aggregate of what the sizes of convenience stores were around the country.
Correct.
And if you do the same thing today, it's between 2,700 and 3,500 feet is right. The average size of a convenience store.
Right. So it's only the superstores like the
Wawas and the
Wawas and Sheetz,
and the Sheetz, but then they have stand up tables, they do fast food, they do so. So they're a restaurant combination. They're not a convenience store.
They prepare food. They have a bake shop. All kinds of things.
So, but are we gonna get hung up on our own definitions with that?
It's possible. I'm a little curious as to why they're sending the letters. I just have a sneaky suspicion that they think that their application's filed, and.
Well, that was their impression tonight, and I had a lengthy discussion about we do not have an application in front of us. And Mr. DePetris tried to say, and his engineer was clear, and then Mr. DePetris was clear that we don't have an application in front of us.
Good.
And the minutes need to reflect that.
Make sure that's in the minutes.
Right. That he and his engineer both agreed with that. And then they tried to do the specific questions about Bowles' letter, and they were getting in the weeds too far. The only technical comment I made is they're going to add parking spaces, and now they're calling the road to the county property a trail. And I said, that's a little disingenuous to call that a trail when the county has leased it for farming, that it's going to have other uses. Later. And well, Mr. Osterberg has, and I said, well, you know, politicians change every 4 years too, so I don't want to be rude about it, but by accepting that that's a trail and having parking there, we're acknowledging or we're actually limiting the use of that property.
Yeah,
correct.
And that's not our function. Our function, we're supposed to see that the property is to have full use, aren't we?
I think we have to look at the deeds and see what the deed of right of way is, both to the county and to the township. My understanding from years ago when there was another project contemplated was that there is an official right of way for the back property to utilize that road.
There is. There needs to.
It's always been in there.
And I think the size, like so many other things like that, the size is at question. But that's not our problem.
No, it's not.
No, but to see that they have full use of their property is our question, right?
Full access, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Access is an issue for them. They have to come in off the state highway. So they'll have to get a PennDOT permit. But just so we're clear, Tony Waldron's letter was received by my office at 11 a.m. this morning. In fact, I was on the phone with Mr. DiLorenzo talking about a different matter when the letter came in. So, I mean, I've looked at his letter, and he has some points here, but, you know, again, until his letter even indicates that the engineer is going to address Mr. Bowles's comments and also revise the plans, until that's actually physically done, how do we entertain this letter?
I wouldn't even entertain it at this point, because it's premature, and we don't even have an application yet.
No. But so much for that.
Yep.
We have an agenda.
Nope. Yep, we're done. We're done with that, right? Okay.
We're going to have many nights to talk about that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I said.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, when we get started with them, we're gonna set some housekeeping rules, right? We're not gonna go past 9 o'clock. We're not gonna.
Oh no.
We're gonna expect everybody to act like ladies and gentlemen and go through the routine, right? So.
I'll be the perfect lady.
Will you? So review of the January minutes. I'll do that with you when we're done.
Yeah, I did catch a couple of.
I've got quite a few comments about that one.
Gotcha.
Some things got out of context. And they were talking about one thing and it's something. So that's okay. That's all stuff we can fix. The Township Comprehensive Plan update.
We don't have Jason. Okay. I think he's up to date on everything, just changing the map. If I'm not mistaken, which he intended on having at our next meeting.
Okay. The amendment to the 407 zoning ordinance.
We haven't heard anything back yet.
Comments from the Water Authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Table that.
You have sent that to them.
They did.
Yeah, the secretary sent it.
Okay.
And I made sure it was sent. And
right.
I got confirmation that it was sent.
And then they sent... you had set up a meeting, or you wanted to set up a meeting, and they couldn't do that. And then at the last supervisors meeting, I said they wanted to schedule a meeting. Did you ever get any further? Are we going to do that Tuesday night too? Did you get somebody needs to talk to Claymire about what day is going to work? Because you want to have a joint meeting, right?
Right.
That was the thought process, is having a joint meeting, yes.
Okay. So then we can't do anything about that till the supervisors. Go ahead.
If we're going to... Sorry.
I like the picture.
Yeah. It always gives me a good picture. Huh?
I think I'd wait to see what the comments are, see if there's any revisions to the... and then set up the meeting.
What I was going to say was, if we're going to set up a joint meeting... Also on here, we got the planner on there, right? Maybe have the planner come in too, because Rachel wanted to have a joint meeting with the planning board and the supervisors.
That would make sense.
Okay, so then you can invite her. That's the gal that's working with Helfrich.
Yep.
So, yep. So then when you decide that, then make a note, when you decide that, we're going to request that this young lady comes to the same meeting that we set up with the 407. So we're tabling that, right? Review of Section 308 of the zoning ordinance at the supervisor's request. Refresh me about what we're doing here.
Yeah, I actually just did an amendment for no impact home-based business.
Yeah.
I'm going to revise...
the home-based businesses, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I did not address the minor impact other than to say that it would be removed from the ordinance.
So why, explain to me why what we have is a concern to the supervisors.
Well, what you have currently in the ordinance calls for home-based businesses with conditions, and some of the conditions are contrary to what a home-based business is defined as in the state law.
Okay.
So that was concern number one. Concern number two was there's a section in the ordinance that deals strictly with minor impact uses. There is no definition of minor impact use in the ordinance, and there's no listing for minor impact uses in the schedule of district regulations. So they won't, I mean, the clarification is that you need, if you're going to do that, you need to have a definition, you need to have what the minor, what you consider minor impact uses. You can't just have somebody come in and say, well, I think this is a minor impact, because somebody else might think it's a major impact.
I remember when they came out, when the state came out with the home, no impact, home-based business.
Yeah, because the connotation that's in the ordinance makes you believe that 309 is a section that follows it precedes the home-based business, and the standards in 309, I think it's 309, let me pull it up here right now. And the only reason that this came up, quite frankly, is the home-based business question.
Right.
So
where would we be at with like plumbers and electricians working out of their houses?
Well, that doesn't even need to be regular.
As long as they qualify for no impact home-based businesses, they could do so. But they couldn't have a sign, they couldn't have anything on property, you know, they couldn't store materials and stuff like that.
Well, that's, it said materials, equipment, stuff like that. You also have landscapers that work out of their houses.
Right.
And their equipment stored outside, so is there a way of separating that?
No. Not for home-based businesses. The way the present law is set up is that it cannot look like a business from anyone looking at it. And the business has to be conducted entirely inside.
Yeah, see, that's not going to work for...
My family members only.
It's not going to work for like landscapers that keep their stuff alongside the house.
Not going to work for any, which is why you can't give them a permit.
So where do you begin and end with a guy bringing his trailer and his machine home, and the guy that has six machines?
Someone who uses a business vehicle and brings it home, just because he has a sign on it, doesn't necessarily mean he's conducting business from home. A commercial vehicle can park at home as long as it's not being utilized as a commercial vehicle. It doesn't mean the guy can bring the vehicle home, load it with stuff, unload it in the driveway, and then load it again in the morning. That's not home. That doesn't fall within the definition of home-based business.
Yeah, it doesn't fall in the definition of the home-based business the way the state's got it, but is there an ordinance that we can create, like, well, a minor, that was the intent of the minor impact business.
I think that was the intent of the minor impact, but then when you look at the home-based that's in the ordinance, it's improper too, because it says, it starts off by saying home-based businesses are accessory uses in all districts. Well, it can't be an accessory use because it has to be done inside the home. And it talks about advertising and display, and you can't have advertising or display.
Well, that was all in there before the state changed it for the home-based business.
Right.
Well, here's the problem. One-man contractors, excavators, masons, all of these guys, we don't want to have someone that's going to get so zealous that they start enforcing rules and regulations against guys like that are operating from their home. That historically, this is what one-man operations do. And we always wanted to make room so that there wasn't an undue burden on those type of contractors, those type of Most of them in Milford Township for a long time were grandfathered in.
Yeah.
But.
That's good, because that gives me an idea of what you're thinking about. Because right now, anything that's less than 2,500 square feet and doesn't store more than 3 vehicles and doesn't generate 100 vehicle trips per day and isn't a nuisance can be done from your home.
Say that again.
Okay, 308.1 says that if the activity is less than 2,500 square feet of building floor area, the use does not involve outside storage of materials or supplies except for minor incidentals and a maximum of 3 vehicles used in everyday service on behalf of the business. Then it says that there has to be a traffic consideration as to whether it's excessive or detrimental to the neighborhood. There has to be a parking consideration as to whether there's parking specifically interfering with other residential parking, and it can't be a nuisance. So that's pretty much everything that there is about minor impact uses, except it doesn't define what a minor impact use is.
Well, do we need more like a definition of a small contractor's yard? Do we need something?
I thought something? We did that.
Yeah.
I thought that we handled that as well. But now it's fallen into this home occupation thing.
Correct.
But we want to, you know, we don't. Do we want to preclude a guy that's in that kind of business from living in a subdivision? That's what in essence, what we're doing by ignoring him.
Presently, if the person has a minor impact use permit, he would be okay. If he doesn't have a minor use impact and it's a residential zone, and that's the other thing. Minor impact uses can only be processed in LG and DD. So none of those uses should be in a residential zone, even under present. And I think you would agree that there's plenty of those uses in a residential zone in our township.
Everywhere in the country, everywhere in rural America there is. That's why that's why we don't want to create undue burden if somebody comes. The whole idea is if you get a zoning officer that's third party, that's overzealous and wants to apply the ordinance exactly the way it is, those kind of uses are very difficult.
Oh, I agree.
And that, I don't think that's what we want. That's not what we want, is it?
No, we actually went
Mike,
over
I
this.
Mike, I mean, that's not what we want.
What I believe is the best way to approach this is come up with a definition of what a minor impact use is. List half a dozen or so minor impact uses and continue to allow them in the LG and DD districts, but as a condition of use. Right now, your ordinance says that within LG and DD, minor impact uses are principal permitted uses. And the zoning officer determines whether it's a minor impact use.
And that's fine, and I don't see a problem with that, but I do see a problem in the residential area.
Yeah. What standards would he use in determining that it's a minor impact?
You have to limit the number of employees, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, you have to, the best thing to do is just read page 15 and the top of page 16 in the zoning ordinance. Honestly, the only reason I read it is because it's right after the one that we're changing. Because we're changing 306 in the home-based businesses, which is the next one.
308.
So I just happened to be flipping, and I saw, okay, minor impact use, and I said, well, what is that? There's no definition of it. And if you read it, I think you'll agree that we need to straighten that out a little bit. So that's what the supervisors are doing, is they're saying to the planners, take a look at it and see what you think.
Yeah, because I think we really went over this good before the state came out with the home-based business ordinance. But we do have somewhere in there, I'd have to look, because now it's not online anymore, but somewhere in there, we did have a some kind of write-up on a contractor's yard.
That ordinance.
Well, okay.
Do you have a paper copy of the ordinance?
I can look for that.
Do I have a what?
Paper copy of the ordinance.
I don't even have a new copy of the zoning ordinance.
The 308 or the zoning ordinance?
The zoning ordinance, but it's not upgraded yet. That's the problem.
Right. Oh, okay. All right.
The last updated one is 2017.
Yeah, but that don't even have the new updates in it.
No, doesn't have the 2023.
But that should have the contractor's yard in it. Contractor's yard.
So, Tony, what do you... my concern is the residential district where, honestly, the plumber, the electrician, the guy that works by himself and, you know, has his garage set up for his tools and his stuff, and it's not a problem to anybody. There's little general contractors all over the place that are just doing it. And well,
and that's what you did in section 401. Home-based businesses. In the definitions, you have contracting businesses and trades. Any commercial activity associated with construction or erection of buildings or structures at a project site, including but not limited to excavators, builders, plumbers, electricians, painters, well drawers, masons, and similar trades. This definition shall not prevent smaller contracting businesses and trades from operating as home-based businesses, provided they comply with Section 401. And 401 is the one that's the issue, because it says home-based businesses, and you know, this was probably done before the MPC was changed.
It was.
Because now the only way you can have a home-based business is if it's a no-impact business. So I don't think we're going to affect any new ones.
Can we just simply make a no impact home based business separate from what we have?
I think what you want to do is you want to somehow incorporate the minor impact and specify that it applies to individual tradesmen, like,
you know, okay, so,
small contractors, plumbers, electricians.
So I
that's
missed
what you're trying to do.
I missed something here. The state has changed the MPC to be that home-based businesses will be no-impact businesses. Is that what I'm
correct?
Hearing? Okay, so...
I don't think it's a change, Kevin. I think it's actually been like that.
It's a no-impact home-based business, which is a permitted use.
Yes.
That's what they changed it to. You couldn't, because a lot of years ago, a lot of them had it as a conditional use. And the state changed it to where it's a permitted use.
And that's because so many people are working with a computer from home.
Right.
Correct.
Right. And nobody cares to even look at that. So why would that even be an issue? Because somebody overzealously is enforcing whatever?
Yes. We've just had this issue ourselves. Somebody was doing sales online on a computer, and I was asked, why don't they have a permit? They got a little office in their house, and they sell on the computer. Nothing comes to the house or leaves, or it strictly goes from wherever he's getting the supplies from to the buyer.
Now, don't lose track of the issue. The issue is that no-impact home-based businesses is a state-defined term. Our ordinance says that you can have home-based businesses in all districts, provided they don't detract from the residential character. And then it says that you can have, like, contractors storing, you know, you can have plumbers, electricians, as long as there's no storage materials. I mean, we can work this out, but it's the ordinance, the way it's written, is probably unenforceable.
Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a bad thing because any permits that were issued might not be legal.
Okay. So the further we go, the more confused I am.
Yes, I agree. And the only reason it came up is because I was asked to look at two sections of the ordinance. And when I looked at them, I was like, well, that's not right. You can't have that and have this.
Now, is the MPC stating that any home-based business has to be that way, or are they just saying if a home-based business is that way, it's a permitted use?
You have to have, home-based businesses are, there's a no-impact home-based business. There's no provisions in the MPC for anything other than no-impact home-based business.
And that's why you have this list of business activity compatible with the residential use. The business shall employ nobody other than family members. There's be no display. Right. That's why these eight items are here.
Correct.
So that, okay, now I'm catching on.
I'm still a little confused on that. My view of it as when I was a zoning officer was, if it met all of that, it's a no-impact home-based business that doesn't require permit. It's a permitted use. Correct. We have no say on it. But if it has an impact, then we would have say on it.
Right.
So
still have to issue a permit for a no-impact home-based business.
Right. I'm saying you can still do it, but you've got to have it separate, and it's got to be a permitted use.
Correct. It's got to be a principle. So you can do that in any zoning district. So the state law requires that you have that in your ordinance. Those eight things.
Right.
We don't have that in our ordinance. That's what I'm saying.
And we went through it. I remember going through this up in Shohola when we had to create the ordinance the way the MPC had it. But then we went ahead and created another ordinance.
Correct.
Where you could have a home-based business through a permit. Okay.
That's what needs to be done, but there has to be standards. So, and really, all I'm asking you to do is read page 15 and 16, and after you read it, you tell me whether you think those are sufficient standards for a minor impact. Because they didn't seem to me to be. There doesn't seem to be anything there that gives you any guidance whatsoever.
All right, so we got to come up with our minor impact.
Right.
Make it a permitted use.
Get us a copy. Get a copy to us of pages 15 and 16 of the ordinance. Be sure that we get
15, 16, and 19.
15.
Those are the ones you want to look at.
15, 16, and 19. Well, it all runs together, so we need the whole.
Correct. Yeah. I think what happened was
Send us 15 through 20.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what Tom was doing was he was trying to anticipate all those guys that have contracting businesses associated with their garage or their house.
Oh, it's definitely what was being said because we were all very adamant about not stopping people from working at their houses.
Right, but all I'm saying is that there should have been some type of a standard put in so that you can legitimately say to someone when they complain about it, well, he met all the standards.
All right.
If you read 15, you tell me what the standards are.
I think the standards were, if you're a self-employed sky and you're not annoying anybody, then...
Have at it.
You're at it. that was the intent, yeah. Okay. Okay.